Good morning. It's 8:46 at WFIR. We recently told you about the Roanoke Valley Collective response to the opioid and addiction crisis and its now completed blueprint to action. This morning, we'll take a deeper dive on that blueprint with Sherry Hartman, the Grant Project Director at Carilion Clinic's Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Health and a member of the Roanoke Valley Collective Response Steering Committee. She joins WFIR anchor reporter Jean Moreno and me live by phone this morning. Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Good morning. Great. Thanks for having me.
It is good to have you with us, Sherry. Now, before we get into some of the particulars, can you say it launching 2 years this month that the Roanoke Valley Collective Response has made a difference, Sherry? And what metrics can back that up when it comes to overdoses and other benchmarks?
Yes, it's been 2 years that we've been meeting monthly, and we've involved nearly 300 individuals throughout the Roanoke Valley who were really disturbed by the number of overdoses that we were seeing in our area. This group covers the Roanoke Metropolitan Service Area, and a catalyst for bringing us together was the finding that 300 of our residents had perished from an opioid use disorder during the period of 2015 to 2018.
Hmm. Hey, Sherry, this is Gene. Good morning. You talk about the region. What region specifically does the collective response actually entail?
So that Roanoke Metropolitan Service Area includes Botetourt and Craig, Roanoke County, Roanoke City, and Salem.
Okay. Isn't it true that the book Dope Sick was sort of a motivator in what Beth Macy found about the opioid crisis in Southwest Virginia?
That's exactly right. That was directly the trigger, I think, that led to this group getting off the ground. Folks had read the book, and what became very clear from Dope Sick is that this crisis was affecting every single neighborhood. And I think that sent off alarm bells in certain neighborhoods that thought that, you know, they were immune to this. And as folks read the book and even discussed it at church meetings, they kept wanting to find a way to make a difference and to come together to try to turn the tide. And we channeled that passion to get involved through the Roanoke Valley Collective Response.
We're talking with Sherry Hartman, the steering committee member for the Roanoke Valley Collective Response. In the just released, Sherry, the Blueprint to Action, it talks about the use of data-driven approaches to help identify risk those at risk and improve compatibility in data systems, more effective data sharing. Is that a problem when so many players involved? You know, you've got everyone from law enforcement to healthcare agencies to other stakeholders involved. Is it a challenge to get all those data systems to be compatible with each other?
Yes, it is. And we're fortunate that the governor picked our Roanoke area to benefit from a data sharing platform that's staffed by Clarion in order to improve that ability to share data. You know, when law enforcement does a seizure of, illegal chemicals, we don't necessarily know that in the healthcare system. So being able to inform each other about what we see going on in the community can help us not only identify current most urgent needs, but even predict what we might need to anticipate.
Is there, Sherry, is there particular types of data that need to be shared better? Is it about overdoses or, like you said, about bust for drugs? Or what is it in particular that needs to be shared that would lead to a better response?
Well, one of the things we've been prioritizing is sharing data about slots that are open along the continuum of care in different kinds of programs so that we know, who we can turn to right now with an open spot for a patient in need of that level of care. That's one example of data in real time that would be very helpful. Also, just knowing in real time where overdoses are happening so that we can mobilize resources in those areas where the need is greatest.
I want to talk with Sherry Hartman from the Carilion Clinic and also a steering committee member of the Roanoke Valley Collective Response. One of the recommended priorities in the Blueprint for Action, Sherry mentions, better connections to care. Maybe better access to resources and harm reduction methods like naloxone. Is that an issue right now? And talk about the improvement you think is needed there.
Yes. We actually identified five priority areas, and crisis responding connections to care is one of five priorities. And we did find that in the first quarter, the first half really of this year of 2020, we have an increase in overdoses, and therefore there is an increased need for naloxone being deployed and made available and getting into the hands of those who need it the most, and we're trying to make that happen.
852 at WFIR. We're joined this morning by Sherry Hartman, Grant Project Director at Carilion Clinic's Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Health, and a member of the Roanoke Valley Collective Response Steering Committee. Sherry, one of these snapshots, if you will, talks about child and family support, preventing family disruption for this impacted by opioid use disorder or substance use disorder. Why is this important, Sherry, as part of the recovery process, and how is that support best provided?
The impact of the addiction crisis is felt deeply by families. It tears families apart in a number of ways. Family members are affected by it. We really call it a family disease, and so it's very important to reach out to the whole family. One of the things we need to do is reduce the stigma so that families are willing to come for support. They are an essential part of the recovery process.
You know, you mentioned the stigma, and I'm wondering, Sherry, you know, there are law enforcement agencies involved with the collective response. Is there any sort of a mindset change among local law enforcement agencies that, hey, opioid and substance abuse addiction is more of a disease, not just a criminal, it's not a criminal offense? Are they trying to approach it any differently? And does the collective response have any, is that a factor in that change, perhaps?
Yes, law enforcement has seen a dramatic change. I would say that goes back even further to the founding of the Roanoke Valley Hope Initiative. 4 years ago, the seeds were planted for law enforcement to partner with a number of community-based organizations, heralding that we cannot arrest our way out of the problem. Actually, Chief Perkins, before he left his office, kick-started the formation of the Roanoke Valley Hope Initiative, where folks could come in without fear of arrest and get the help they needed at the Bradley Free Clinic, who is actually the backbone organization then for that effort in partnership with law enforcement to now the Roanoke Valley Collective Response, which is, of course, is more comprehensive and a broader engagement of over 100 organizations. The Bradley Free Clinic is again stepping up to the plate and serving as the backbone organization for this more comprehensive approach that goes beyond treatment. I mean, it includes prevention, treatment, child and family support, as you said, crisis responding, and recovery. The blueprint is very complete.
And we talked with Christine Baldwin from the Hope Center, based at the Bradley Free Clinic recently, and it's gone from one day a month people could walk in. Now it's every day of the week, and there are actually three counselors. So that program, obviously, if those new positions are being funded, that has made a difference.
Yes, absolutely. And what's wonderful about it is, you know, they walk the walk with the individuals who come in. The individual themselves identifies what kind of treatment they feel like is the best fit. And then persons with lived experience help them navigate that journey.
All right, we're talking with Sherry Hartman from the Roanoke Valley Collective Response. Got a couple of minutes left. I want to ask you about, Sherry, the recovery factor, where you talk about the Blueprint Action Plan talks about finding businesses willing to help hire those in recovery, seeking more insurance coverage for addiction recovery services. Are those addiction recovery services not normally covered to some extent by insurance now?
Well, for the first time, they are partially covered. You know, there is an effort in Virginia, I'm very proud of our state, that's called the ARTS Initiative, that made it possible to pay for peer recovery specialists. But that's Medicaid. We would like to see all forms of insurance cover peer recovery specialists, and we'd like to see it more, you know, better covered and also more easily accessed. It's very hard right now for hospital systems to reinvent themselves to include peer recovery specialists, and we would love for that to be better covered and more easily covered.
And the other part of my question, Sherry, is how important is it to find businesses that are willing to hire people that are, you know, that are in the recovery process?
I'm so glad you brought that up. That's a priority of our plan, is that the business community join us in providing a path to recovery by providing a path to employment. It's an essential part of a person's recovery.
All right. We're talking with Sherry Hartman from the Roanoke Valley Collective Response and Carilion Clinic. And we don't have time to tick off all seven strategies, but part of your seven strategies for change is new and expanding prevention program, Sherry, reaching out to a more diverse population. So was that one of the things that the Collective Response has found, that these programs are not reaching everybody they need to reach?
Absolutely. We are not doing a good enough job of destigmatizing addiction. And there's a number of cultures that are more affected by stigma, and certainly minority populations are included in that.
All right. A couple of minutes left. So are we making progress, Sherry? Are we making progress? The Collective Response, has it made an impact, do you think, in recognizing at least the need for better data sharing and expanded programs, that type of thing?
Yes, the Collective Response has quickly identified not just gaps in services, but also areas where we could collaborate better to be more effective. And collaborating better doesn't necessarily take more resources. It means meeting together to come up with solutions, and that's already happening.
Okay, with the blueprint for action, we've got about a minute or so left. Are there action plans going forward, Sherry? Or will you, you know, look at the next 3, 6 months, a year, and say, we've reached the next step in this thing?
There are certain evidence-based models that are kind of low-hanging fruit that we can adopt quickly. And so we will see that happen right away. One, for example, is the ED Bridge to Treatment program. That's a collaborative which gets a person who comes into the ED in an acute kind of circumstance, and through the ED Bridge, they get rapid access to treatment. So that's one area that we are moving ahead quickly with. We're also already benefiting from the data sharing that's happening to roll out collaboratives. One of the areas that needs attention that we'll work on quickly together is helping persons recently released from incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very hopeful that, you know, collaboration will improve the circumstances for getting them effectively into community-based care with the needed supports.
Mm-hmm.
We have programs at TAP that are helping women get into employment, and that's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Family Service of Roanoke Valley has programs for families. That's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, the HOPE Initiative
right.
Collaborates broadly. So there are a number of initiatives that are already mm-hmm. getting underway that we feel really good about.
All right, Sherry Hartman, Roanoke Valley Collective Response. We're going to have to leave there. Sherry, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.